This is the Mountain West Connection show. Finally, we're up and going. MWC Connection. That's our website.com, Mountain West Connection Facebook, MWC Connection Twitter. Hopefully the thing's almost rolling because we're recording the new way tonight because our regular way has not been too happy over the past month, and I'm getting pretty upset. But I'm joined by Chris, who can enjoy and expound upon those frustrations we're having tonight.
I'm angry.
So am I.
Is that what I was supposed to do?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know. Blog Talk Radio says they're great things. They email me, say, hey, why don't you connect Hardwired to your wall? Hey, I did that. It didn't work. Nobody could hear me. Chris could talk, but I couldn't join as a show host. Testing your mic worked great. Oh, you're doing this way? Great. Everything looks good, but nobody can hear you. So that doesn't work very well, does it?
Yes.
So I sent off another email to see what's going on, and we may never use them again because you want something that works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And they fixed it, and it sounded much better because they've had their audio has been – there's been some – not issues, but it hasn't been the best. They made an upgrade. It sounded great for last week when it worked for like 4 minutes, but then nothing. But let's get to the show. Let's forget about that. We'll take our frustrations on complaining about teams, right?
Yes.
So this is the partially – well, first off, it's a complaining show. Second, it's UNLV preview. And third, or 2B, is the Mountain West Media Day recap. So we've already done our complaining. What should we do next? Should we go Media Day?
Sure.
Sure?
Sure. Let's go that.
So Media Day, one thing I want to start off before we get to Media – well, it's part of Media Day. We put our staff poll out. It wasn't really scientific. We didn't really do – I guess we technically did what they do at Mountain West Media Days where – when you pick offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, you just pick one person. However, you pick one, the way they do it, they present one player per team. Because our choice, overwhelmingly, for defensive player of the year was Zach Vigil of Utah State.
Which I did not vote for.
Who did you vote for? I forget.
I have our list? I have to remember that?
Well, you sent me a chat since you didn't fill out the form, so I didn't know if you knew off the top of your head.
I want to say
Ian Sayle, I think you put.
Ian Sayle, I think. Yeah, I want to say I voted for Ian Sayle.
I think you did as well. Well, that's our pick was, and one of our guys who we chatted a bunch, had him on the show at least once, Jimmy Durkin from the Mercury News out in San Jose. He informed us he was going to vote for Vigil. However, he did not appear on the list, and it was Kyler Fackrell because it's one player per school, which is a good choice, and he actually won, but it's kind of surprising. We'll just start with there. A player who played – he didn't even play a full game. He tore his ACL against Tennessee in week one. Obviously, he was an NFL draft pick. He was in the top, possibly first or second round pick for extremely early projections last year, but I think that is quite surprising. He was the defensive player of the year.
Yeah, I you know, it surprises me, but at the same time, it doesn't.
I felt the defensive league so deep. You could have put, I don't know what every team put up. We just know Utah State put up only Fackrell because that's what it was. You could have made an argument like we did, Ian Sayle, if you have Nick Vigil, but he was an option. You could have had Kamel Correa from Boise. Kamel Correa from Boise State. It just seems odd that they'll pick a player who didn't play despite his potential to be the player of the year. And then that kind of goes the same way. The quarterback, we don't know who any QBs are, and it's Chucky Keaton, first-team QB. And that's kind of the same situation.
Now, do you remember who I voted for offensive MVP?
I'm trying to look at that our Google chat we had, and I'm trying to rewind back up to it. I do
remember this.
Rashard Higgins.
Nope.
Donnell Pumphrey.
Nope.
Or people call DJ Pumphrey. Apparently, that's a new thing. You didn't do Jarrell Presley, did you?
I did not.
Who else did I put on the list? Oh, Max Wittick.
Yes.
Max Wittick, who apparently Norm Chow, who he knows high on, says, he reminds me of Carson Palmer.
Well, actually, he does. I mean, I saw him play against Utah State a few years ago when he was actually starting for USC, and he didn't have a good game that day, but he did have the Carson Palmer-esque style.
Which is
More pro style quarterback, but will throw a ton.
okay. Now that makes sense. It's the only thing with Wittick. It's like he was okay at USC. He wasn't great. He got beat up by Cody Kessler. And like Norm Chow, we knew Norm Chow was high on him. Like, oh, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be the man. He's going to do everything you want him to be. But he has Marcus Kemp. And, but I, J Saint Juicy is their, I guess he's technically their first string court running back at Media Day with the depth chart that they released, but. I get the potential thing, but I want to see it first before I buy into that. Is
Yeah,
that fair? Is
absolutely.
that that's fair? Well, you can't go wrong because the actual player there was Rashard Higgins, and I love it. We have so many Colorado State fans who listen to the show or read the website or follow all of our accounts on Twitter. Again, check Greek Padre if you'd like to boost his account there. A
I'd
side
like a
note.
boostman account.
Side note, did you happen to Parker's Twitter account?
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. We'll mention this now. We kind of talked about our guy Parker Robertson. He's covering Utah State football for KSL.com. He'll still be doing a few things with us. He'll join our podcast. He'll do some recruiting basketball, but his main thing is now football with them. He had about what 200 followers. He's fairly new to Twitter, doing a few things with us. We're direct messaging last night. He's above 2,500 followers in like 4 hours. And I'm like, what's going on? To find out, I don't know how this has happened. This has never happened to me on a mass basis. And clearly, obviously not to you, just because you're about 500. You would see a couple here or there like I would, like the egg bots or spam bots or the foreign accounts. There's people I was going through who followed him. Like, they haven't tweeted since 2012. And he got like 2,200 followers in a couple hours.
Nice.
I told him, I'm like, he's going through, he's telling me he's like blocking these. I'm like, don't block them. They'll say spam you. Don't waste your time. But it does two things. It makes them look more credible. Nobody looks at who's following you. They look at the number of followers, right?
Yeah. Did he
And
already all of a sudden just buy his followers?
no, he was surprised. And he surpassed me, which I'm like, dang it, man. He already surpassed me in a little while. I'm like at
Speaking of which,
2,200.
was I at 500 followers or was I only at 400?
Let me look and see. I just kind of tossed out. I know you passed our goal of 400 last year.
Okay, so yeah, because I'm at 444 right now.
445. I just tossed. I wasn't sure 400 or 500. So I just think it's hilarious. Like two. I don't know how it happened. I was going through just to see what it was, but I've never seen that. I don't think he. I know you can buy followers, but I don't think he cares about that too
I
much.
don't think Parker would intentionally buy followers.
Yeah, making fun of BYU like you and me, yes, but by followers, no.
No, that's like the easiest way to whore out ourselves to buy followers is get all BYU people pissed at us and get everybody else happy with us.
Did you like my joke I made on Twitter about that, right?
No.
Oh, you didn't see? Okay, so here's the deal. As the show goes clearly off topic, we're going to be a long show tonight anyways. At Big Ten Media Days, most of the conference, like Big Ten, SEC, and ACC, have their requirement where you got to play a Power Five team in a non-conference schedule, which
Oh,
is
yeah.
perfect. SEC, they kind of flip-flopped, and ACC said BYU no, then they said yes, you count, which is fine, great. Because if you think about it, BYU is better than playing Indiana or Illinois in your schedule if you're from the SEC. So if you want a better team, they clearly are a better team than a good portion of these bottom Power Five teams like Colorado and so forth. However, they get included. That's great. Big Ten does the same thing. And there's some dude on Twitter. He's a smart guy. I know he's poking fun at the University of Utah and TCU because he's like, well, only eight teams elected TCU as a Power Five team and only 10 for Utah. But yet he goes off and says 44 include BYU P5 equivalents. And do you know the easy joke for this? Or should I go?
I remember Parker's joke about being BYU essentially being friend zoned.
Oh, there's that one. That's a great one as well. I asked, where does the check come with being recognized by those 44 schools? Is that
Show
is there any pay bump anywhere along the lines?
me the money.
I thought that was great. That people attack me, and then our good friend Brett Hine He does surf Vanquish to fall. I'm surprised he kind of jumped on me about this. He's like, well, they get to play LSU and Mississippi State, these great teams, Michigan State coming home and home. I'm like, that's great. I'm not denying it.
They don't have to pay BYU for it since they're Power 5 equivalent.
True. But also, like, yeah, they'll get a good paycheck going to Houston to play LSU, but that doesn't make up any difference. I'm surprised he didn't get the joke. I'm poking fun, which is fine. I know it gets under people's skin, but it's sitting there right for me. Come on. How much easier could that be? And
you know what this is going to turn into, right? And this is obviously me wishful thinking, but in all actuality, right? As the Big 12 weekends or the ACC weekends and Florida State and Georgia Tech are snapped up by the SEC or something like that, some next conference expansion just completely blows everything out of proportion, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do realize that as long as Boise State, Utah State stay good and everything like that, and the Mountain West as a whole stays better than the AAC, they're going to be looked on as the next Power 5 conference, right?
I would hope so, because there's a time during the BCS.
Which means BYU would still be left out.
Because there's a time the Mountain West actually qualified for the exception to be BCS, but they never made that assumption or promotion for a seventh power team a couple years ago. So, whatever. I just felt that was a funny joke. So let's get back. We go from, what do we score? Twitter followers to jokes.
Mountain West Media Days. That's all this thing is.
Oh, Colorado State fans. That's what I'm getting at. They are a passionate part of our community, and they let us know about it. Because our vote.
That's an understated opinion. CSU fans. Okay. So if I have to rank the intense passion about certain fan bases, right? I'm going to go ahead and put Colorado State fans at the very top here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because they've been in the Mountain West since day one, and they just have, some of them especially, just have some serious hate going on. It's pretty awesome. And not towards us, but towards other teams in the conference.
A little bit toward us, or maybe toward me a little bit.
Maybe towards you. probably a little bit towards me because I'm Boise State homer.
Naturally.
But then after the CSU fans, then you have the Boise State fans, and then after that, then you have the San Diego State fans. And then afterwards, it just kind of follows suit. But those Colorado State fans, oh my goodness.
They're great.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm getting at is that our vote, what we did, we didn't do 1 through 5 or 1 through 3. I'm like, give me player of the year, one vote. And Rashard Higgins came in at 5th in our poll, I believe. He got one first place vote, probably by one of our CSU guys. So that's fair. That's fine. That's what we do. Then they get all on us like, oh, look who's wrong. How can Rashard Higgins be 5th place on this list? I explained we did one vote. So if we did a top 3 or top 5, like just watch our top 50 list. It's not going to be a surprise if who's in our top 5. And I'll give you this now. Rashard Higgins is well above the top 5.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, there's no point in doing another top 3 or 5. We're going to have our list rolled out every day. He's in the upper half of the top 5. So it's not a surprise, but that's kind of what I'm saying right now. The reason he came in 5th because only one person felt he's 5th. And normally, any league, any conference, player of the year, offense, quarterback, or running back, almost all the time. So I don't get what the uproar was, most of us picking Donald Pumphrey, who quite possibly could lead the nation in rushing yards this year. He could have more yards than Ezekiel Elliott, more yards than whoever Oregon puts out there, more yards than Devontae Booker at Utah, who's very good. He could be anybody that Baylor, if they run the ball, will put. You know what I mean? There's running back usually is the top choice for quarterback. So that's where we kind of got like, oh, you guys are terrible. Then when the media day comes out, it's Hollywood Higgins, number one. And I felt that was a surprise.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. But then again, it just seems that whereas the players who are going to be essentially be MVPs are actually very few and far between this year, still between any three or four guys you can just kind of pick, and it really is not going to be a unanimous pick with any of them. Like even our vote for even all of our votes for offensive player of the year or supposed MVP, right? Even if you had 20 of us voting, which there weren't 20 of us voting, it still would not be unanimous or overwhelmingly favored one person.
Correct. And I just felt with the just running back situation, it's going to be him because of what he brings back. Because here's the thing with Higgins, we all know he's great. He's likely probably the better pro than Darnell Pumphrey. He was a Biletnikoff finalist, had better stats than any wide receiver last year in a lot of categories. But he has a new quarterback. It's probably going to be Nick Stevens, their quarterback from CSU. Maybe Colby Key, but I don't know if he's going to be there yet. There's a new offense with Mike Bobo, new running. D Hart's no longer there, no running back. He might struggle to put up good numbers despite being a dominant player on the field. And that's where I was coming from, and the reason I'm going to pick Pumphrey, because not that he's the more safe choice, he's just, I guess he is, but I thought he's the more logical choice to have a better year, despite knowing Higgins probably is the better football player.
Yeah.
Because what happened, like, what happens if they go 100% Mike Bobo and just run the ball every play? Higgins is.
That's kind of where I'm coming from, but were there
Yeah.
any? Yeah, that's just I just think that's what it is. I'm not denying what Higgins is. He brought the popcorn, the promotional stuff. Great. I just felt the better football player is Higgins, but the best player for their team, which is why I kind of went with this award, would be, and my vote goes to Pumphrey because I think he'll have a bigger impact.
That's fine.
So, did you find anything suspicious or interesting on these lists at all? The first team, anything you?
No, I gotta take a look at everything. I honestly did not pay any attention to Media Days this year.
That's fine. I'd listen to
And
everything
that's
afterwards.
huge for me because I'm the one who always kind of makes fun of Media Days.
Sure. I also did you okay? Because should we give your announcement now? The reason why you probably weren't paying attention to Media Days? Can we?
Yeah, sure. Why the hell
Or
not?
do you want to or not? Because you said
Yeah.
earlier you were going to announce something and you can't back out of it because, like you said, you have 444 followers who want to know what's going on.
Yeah. Let's do it. And a few of you, a few of them already know. A few of you, actually, a few of the staff members know. The listeners do not, and most of the people from the website do not. But I am taking.
Chris is moving to Europe to cover soccer.
Yes, I am moving to Europe. No, I am actually moving. I alluded to this back in June when I first got the job. I am officially though moving to San Diego County for a new job.
Excellent.
So that means the San Diego State fans can all gang up on me, right? Because I am a Boise State and UNLV homer, so that's like double negative for me in that area.
No, wait, but flip it around. You also have the equal, if not greater, hatred toward BYU.
This is true.
So that takes away at least one of the marks. And nobody really cares if you hate UNLV except for basketball season. So that's kind of half. So it's almost even, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So that is the news. Do you care? Do you want to tell them what you're doing? Does it matter? You can leave it at
No,
that.
I prefer to not tell people what I do.
It's a good plan.
Some of you do know what I do, and kudos to you, but I'm not telling you where I'm working or anything like
Well, I'm
that.
not saying
Just because
where,
of you.
but no, I'm not saying
Yeah.
where. Okay,
Well,
if you look
it's a
at,
new teaching job.
yeah, if you look at his Twitter account, it's not surprising he's a chemist by trade, so it's something in chemistry.
Yes.
So there we go. That's what's going on. He's going to. Are you already there yet? Or you start? You have you found a
No,
place?
actually,
Correct.
I moved Thursday.
Oh, you
So
did?
if you want to help me out, move.
I'm a bit far away to do that. I'm sorry.
God damn it.
Is
Okay.
Matt Bain back in town from Atlanta? Can you give him a call?
No, he messaged me like last week when I told him. He's like, "Oh, no, just tell me then well basically he's like I expect you to sit in the show for when Boise State and UNLV come to Viejas."
Perfect. That'll be good. That's just fun. Well, that's what we got. So you're moving. That's fine. You're moved, I should say. So that's good for you. Finally got that straightened out after hadn't been in Las Vegas for a while. So congrats to that. So let's get back to.
But I'm just going to go to the UNLV games.
We have a guy.
We have a guy.
We've got Keith. He does stuff for Husa Belt, and he moved to Las Vegas, and he's helping us with UNLV football.
No, I get that, but I enjoyed going to the games.
Oh, I thought you said like who's gonna do UNLV or something or go. So
No, no,
gotcha.
no, no, no.
Okay,
I know we got a guy.
I was making sure. That's true. UNLV, you're missing the Tony Sanchez thing situation. So
I am. And there is a huge buzz. And hey, nice segue into the preview. There is a huge buzz about what's going on with UNLV football. I'll tell you, last week they did make a big splash by unveiling, you know, the new uniforms were unveiled, but this was the first real life look that we got at them.
Yeah, we saw them, what, a month or so ago, early June.
Right. But like I said, we saw the black ones in person. Blake Decker and Penny Vea debut them. They look awesome.
They did. Yeah, they're great uniforms. And also kind of media day Mount UNLV thing. If Blake Decker's at media day, he has to be your starting quarterback, right? Because the depth chart was out and he wasn't officially listed as a starter.
Right.
Well, so I'm assuming he is.
I'd assumed that he was going to be the starter, but...
Well, so did I. A lot of teams still went back and forth, like Maxwell Smith at San Diego State is probably going to be the starter. All sorts of stuff. One last thing. I put a lot of notes, but we don't need to go through those notes. We'll get back to you, UNLV, because that did work well. But did you like the 75-touchdowner mark Max Winnick made?
I did.
So Max Winnick, I was listening to a ton of different interviews on Campus Insider. We made a huge – if you want to spend time, there's like 60 videos. Nothing too long. But Max Winnick goes, I want 75 touchdowns, 75 total touchdowns. That's 40 points a game.
That's possible.
Really? Hawaii? 40 points a game?
Yeah.
They do have Marcus Kemp. And also, I listened to a lot of San Diego State. We didn't mention order of finish. Boise's projected to win the Mountain Division, got all but, what, two or three first-place votes. Aztec, all but two, okay. Aztecs in the West. Aztecs, was it Fresno?
All but three.
All but three, yeah. Then Fresno, then Nevada, and then CSU finished out third. But listen to Rocky Long. Dude, I am probably more optimistic about the Aztecs than I probably should be. Just because he, what's media day, that's what it is. He goes on and on about the defense. We're going to be so great, which is always, the defense is always pretty good. And then they're talking about who the quarterback will be. He doesn't really say, and there's a few players that were saying, yeah, if our quarterback situation was more stable, we'd be really good. And I kind of believe that. They just need a wide receiver. They have Max, probably going to be Maxwell Smith, the Kentucky transfer. He's going to start, but I'm kind of maybe a little bit higher on San Diego State than I should be after listening to coaches. But again, at media day, it's all, we're great, we're undefeated, so maybe I'm just buying into that.
Yeah, absolutely. But if I'll tell you, we'll know a lot about this Hawaii team when they play game one versus Colorado.
1 a.m. Eastern time, Thursday yes. night.
Jeez. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going to be watching.
It's midnight. It's 11 for me. I don't know. I work super early, so I don't know. We'll see.
I have to teach the next morning.
You got an hour on me.
At work by like 7 a.m. So yeah.
But I watch it. I know you have an hour on me, and I have to be at work earlier than that. So just a competition.
So back to UNLV.
Yeah, let's get. We'll, so, yeah.
You know how I know Tony Sanchez is doing things, even though we don't know he's doing things yet.
How so?
A week ago, or a little over a week ago, Sam Boyd Stadium's field was widened and re-turfed.
Ooh.
The last time Sam Boyd got re-turfed,
Randall Cunningham. Oh, I was going to say Randall Cunningham, 2003. 11 years ago.
Yep.
Also, one thing interesting I really loved, I didn't get through all of it, but I was listening to or reading around the web about everything over at coachingsearch.com. They do a great, great job about coaching interviews. Coaching search, obviously, that's what it's about. They're sifting through a lot of stuff at media days. I think we'll have an article about it soon, but you know who their new offensive coordinator is, right? Or offensive coach they have?
Gorman? Or no, sorry. Sanchez?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I need to pull this up here really quick because I'm trying to find the right quotes, but he's bringing in.
It's not Al Borges.
No. Hey, good. Have fun, Spartans fans. Crap. I forget who it was. I should have had it up here, but basically what it was like, they're bringing the guy UNLV is not paying much money for a coach. Like, Sanchez is getting $500K himself, I believe. Somewhere around there.
His assistants are making more than he is.
No, they're not. No, but I'm saying they some other places are, but I'm saying I wish I had the story up right here. Crap. What it was essentially, he wanted to bring in this guy, I think he's from Colorado, where he's like,
he brought in the guy from Colorado.
That's what it is. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the right name here. I just can't seem to find it. But whatever, basically what it is, he's like, I can't afford you. He's like, I don't care. I want to come to be a part of what you're doing. To make barely, not to say barely, like this is still a lot of money, but for assistant, for an offensive coach, he's like making 150 a year, 150,000. Still, most people would love to make that much. I know I would. You probably would as well. But he's coming from a job where he would be making closer to 400,000 per year. And he's going to go just because he believes what Tony Sanchez is doing at UNLV. And you don't take a pay cut just because, you know what I mean? Just because it's your buddy or friend. That's, you may take a small pay cut, but cut your salary by over 60%. And going to a school, even though Colorado, UNLV are not the best to you, you're still in the Pac-12. Hopefully there's potential there, but he's going to go to UNLV where they've been outside of a couple years ago going to that, was it Ticket City Bowl and when they played North Texas? Yeah. Nothing since Randall Cunningham was there. Like, they've been 110 at best out of 125, 128 FBS schools, and he believes so much of what Sanchez is doing. So that's a pretty big deal.
No, it's huge. And here's the thing. This comes back to last week's media days. So at the media days, right, they interviewed Sanchez, everything like that.
Let's just say this. He's won media day as a coach, I think.
Oh, totally. Very. Because what happened was the crowd's gone, right? Local writers and then some guy from USA Today, the guy who recapped the media days.
Well, no, that's actually.
But then there was a whole crowd of reporters in front of Tony Sanchez. Like, he is basically basking in media interviews. He's basically pouring energy into this program.
And he's not the guy just because he came from high school to do this. He was at the best high school program in the country for the past 5 or 6 years, top five at worst, where he was undefeated in state, I believe, every year was there, what, won 5 or 6 straight Nevada State titles, was the national title team last year. So it's not like he's not used to having a lot of media. Maybe not as much, but he's not the new coach who's just being nice just because he's the new coach in town to get the love from the local media. He's saying things like, heck yeah. He's like, yes, Bishop Gorman had better facilities at probably half the Mountain West schools. He up and says it, so people want to hear what he has to say.
He's let the players back on Twitter.
Good, as long as you're responsible and don't be stupid.
Absolutely. He's kind of tried to rally the community. I mean, he and some of the football players have done a couple signings around Las Vegas already before the season started.
Yeah, it's the team. Here's the thing. They have, we'll kind of mix in our preview with them, but he's energetic as he should be. He's a younger guy. He's from California. He's at a good program. If he can get, I believe he has one guy already for 2016 from Bishop Gorman. I know he lost a guy last year that was on the fence. But if he can get one or two guys there, he has connections. Who cares what you want to say about the guy who he knows from the UFC? Who knows if he'll donate money to UNLV football? Who's that guy again? Peretta?
Fertitta.
Fertitta, okay. Who knows? They know they got the tennis facility there. Their name's on the building in a few places. Money may or may not come for him. That's whatever. Great if it does. If not, he's not counting on it. As he said it multiple times, like it is when he got signed for his press conference, saying it's a community thing. He wants to keep the guys in state because any school you're at, if you get the top players in the state of your state, Nevada, California, or your area, you're going to be better than not. You don't want to lose those guys. So he's building off the community and the talent.
And how's this? Just a few weeks ago, he just beat a recruit out from Inland Empire, California, so from Redlands. He beat a recruit out over UNR.
Yeah, the linebacker is one of the best in the state, and he stayed with to stay at UNLV. He's passionate. He's there's got to be a lot of excitement there, and it'd be great if they can improve. They're in the West, which helps. West is down, and every team, like, there's a quarterback case. There's only a couple teams returning quarterbacks. San Jose State, we talked about last week. They have potential, but they're not there yet. Fresno State, they got Zach Greenlee probably. They do have Marquise Waller, great running back. A couple good defenders that are good, but they're still kind of figuring out who they are after Derek Carr, Isaiah Burse, all those type of guys leaving, Davante Adams. They have teams to beat. Hawaii, we don't know. You're high in Hawaii. I'm kind of, but still, they haven't been very good. So there's chances for them to maybe steal wins or be good. And if they buy into it, they'll play harder. It's just he's doing the right things in the area. He knows, and he knows the right people to get a hold of. He knows every college coach anyways at high school stuff, because they all came to Bishop Gorman to recruit. Notre Dame, USC, Texas, schools from the ACC, they're all coming there to check out who those guys are when you have the best high school team in the country.
So let's go into this team, period. So we can assume that Blake Decker will be the quarterback.
Yes.
You know, Decker was not great last year. But at the same time, he was, you know, Nick Sherry was the other guy. Sherry didn't do anything. Decker kind of came into his own by the end of last year. Only 58% completion rate, 15 touchdowns, 18 interceptions. That's because more or less Decker has a trigger arm.
Well, and you're down.
Yeah. He's got a trigger arm, and he wasn't really throwing to the right people at all at the time. He wasn't always making the best decisions.
And I'm wondering how that will change, because they had two of the best receivers last year, Devontae Boyd and Devontae Davis, correct? Yes.
Right. But here's the thing. Decker threw to Boyd. I better quote myself there. Yeah. Decker threw to Boyd last year more than he threw to Davis.
Well, Davis was hurt a little bit too, I believe.
Was hurt a little bit. But, I mean, that's still a good 25% difference. And Boyd had a better catch rate than Davis. So you already have that natural progressive chemistry between your top wide receiver and your top quarterback. There's going to be something there. And Boyd is going to be your go-to guy.
Of course. He's going to be one of the best receivers in the conference. He was first team Mountain West with Rashard Higgins. And that includes, you got guys like Tyler Winston. You have all the guys from Boise State. Maybe they kind of split the vote there. McNichols and all those type of guys are the spearback who could be right there to have better stats or numbers. But there's a lot of good wide receivers pretty deep in this league to be named first team. Pretty big deal.
Yeah. And, I mean, the guys behind Decker, if Decker somehow goes down, UNLV is pretty much screwed, because then you have a redshirt freshman, a sophomore, and a freshman. None of them have seen any snaps at the collegiate level yet. So Decker has to be your starter. There's no other option. Now, the big trouble with UNLV is they need somebody to run the ball. And Shaquille Murray Lawrence, he did well, but Keith Whiteley did just as well last year. And it seemed like, even though both these players were racking up about between 4 and 4.5 yards per carry, it just seemed like every single time they couldn't get more than 2 or 3 yards.
But yeah, it sucks when Blake Decker's your leading rusher.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, in terms of yards, yes.
What else do you put me for leading rusher? Total yards. That's what I go by.
Number of rushes.
By 5, barely.
Oh, okay.
Yards, touchdowns, yards per carry, we're all number one.
Yeah.
Maybe it's George Nafahu. Yeah, is that right? Nafahu. Maybe he'll step up and do something, but he barely played last year. 52 carries. So, running game, you're right. And I think also
protection is going to be an issue, because he got sacked 34 times last year, and they're only returning 2 starters.
What was that?
Sacks are going to be an issue, because Blake Decker was sacked 34 times. They only bring back 2 starters from last year.
Yeah, that's definitely not going to be fun.
And without a running game, yeah, Eric Nunez, if he starts, Kyle Saxley does as well. But outside of Ron Scoggins, he's the right guard. And then I guess Nick Jestrin is, well, I don't recall what he played last year, but he's listed as right guard, had 13 starts. That's okay. It's probably the right side of the line, but you got to protect, and we don't know who a running back is or how good the running back will be, actually. I don't know where the improvement can come on offense outside of just these new guys stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. The nice thing, though, is you lost second all team Mountain West, but you do have some experience returning. I think the problem is
depth.
Yeah, exactly.
And I guess receivers really quick is just Boyd. They lost Davis, lost a few other guys. They have a good core because like Kendall Keys, Anthony Williams, and Keith Whiteley, they all got about 23 receptions last year. They combined for 72, it looks like, 71. That I don't know how much they're going to throw this year, but there's enough depth there. I think the receiving game will be fine, but they can't rely on that the whole season.
Yeah. Yeah. I just
– it might be there. It's like maybe not. It's going to come down to Decker being more accurate and not, like you said earlier on, not throwing stupid passes or forcing it for interceptions.
Yeah, and I think this will be the difference with Tony Sanchez and Bobby Houck. I think we'll get to see in-game how much Sanchez adjusts from his high school style of gameplay to a college level, if he adjusts, or if he tries what Houck did, which was do the same exact thing except worse because you have less talented players.
Wait, do you recall what offense did he run at Bishop Gorman? Because I didn't think to look at that. What was he running there?
I could tell you right now.
You do that, but one thing, like you said, he's going to make changes.
I think it was a spread. Like,
makes sense. I know they scored a lot of points. I just don't recall. But here's who they brought on. He made a great staff around him because you don't want to be the new guy from high school to FBS, which is a huge jump, even at a UNLV school, which is not the best. He brought in Barney Cotton to be the offensive coordinator from Nebraska. Decades of coaching experience. They bring in Barney Cotton. He had 3 decades here. They have Kent Baird to be defensive coordinator. He's had 40 years of coaching experience.
Huh. So interesting. So interesting to note. So this was actually from an interview with Tony Sanchez from American Football Monthly. Tony Sanchez, when he went to Bishop Gorman, did a pro style offense. And let's just put it this way. And this is from his 2012 season, right? In his 2012 season, he won the Nevada State Championship, right, against Reed High School, defeated Reed High School 72-28.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. Throughout the season, almost 4,500 yards of rushing and 3,200 yards of passing. So about a 60-40 pass to run, or run to pass, which is what you would expect in a pro-style offense. So now if you're bringing that into a UNLV offense, right,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna have to get Keith Whiteley and, you know, Blake Decker, or not even Blake Decker, but Keith Whiteley and George Nafalo more involved. Get them. If they're getting those 4 yards of carry, let them get that 4 yards of carry. Then let Blake Decker make those short passes. You don't need to make long passes to get affected or to be effective.
Because even with Devontae Boyd, his numbers, like, let me pull it up here just a second. He wasn't like a deep threat. He was getting almost 10 yards an attempt to him, which is pretty good. 9.7 a target. And what he caught, he's probably getting higher than that. So
here, I'll do the math right now. So
I can actually pull it up here for CFB stats. I was looking off our look. Our good friend Bill Connolly, probably
15 yards per catch.
Yeah, so he's there. We know he is their deep threat, and that was one of the best in Mountain West. 15.2. He needs to get more touchdowns. But it's going to, I think it's going to come down to the, like, we could say it comes down, it's very simple in football. Not that we're talking down or think people are dumb, but if they can protect Decker and he makes smarter throws, that's all it comes down to. But they need an offensive line, which they don't have at the moment. And Decker is not shown to be consistently throwing accurate or making the best decisions. And he's losing possibly one of the school's best receivers ever in Devontae Davis.
But he's getting a new receiver who was a freshman last year, who's proven to be and who has the potential to be the best receiver in UNLV history.
Oh, he probably is. I'm just saying, look what they're losing, what they have coming back, and going with the questionability of his.
But I'm just saying, you're just saying, oh, receiver for receiver. You're saying a receiver, a worse receiver. I'm saying, no, the two aren't different. The two are actually pretty much the same. You saw it last year.
Well, I just mean they're losing one of those guys. They don't have both. Yeah. So who's going to be that second guy? I'm saying you have
two. No, I get it.
Two great guys. You lose one. Where's that production going to be made up from? They may have it. They may not. They lost two of their top three receivers, but Mikey Matili had only 29 catches. So, and the defense, I think that's the real concern, because their defense has never been very good. And they're losing their top three of their four defensive linemen. They do get all their linebackers back. They do get Penny Vea back in the secondary. But they have to have their linebacking be the best part of this defense. And that looks to be because they're rebuilding that front defensive line. And that's going to be an issue against when they play San Diego State, when they play San Jose State, who has a good running game, when they play Nevada's pistol offense, when they go against Martez Waller. Those will be issues they need to fix quickly.
Right. And so, obviously, you have a very, very, very experienced linebacking core who played pretty well. The problem is your defensive line wasn't exactly great. But that being said, they do have their best defensive player last year. In my opinion, even though Brandon Willis and Sio Vaseo made more plays, Sonny Sanatoa, his name was being called consistently every single week. And so it's nice to have him back kind of as a defensive leadership along with Penny Vea and the linebacking core. But this defensive line needs – they're all young and they need to learn to get a push up very quickly.
One guy they do have that could help right away, they got a 3-star JUCO transfer, Ryan McAllen, who you'd hope he can see the starting lineup or at least be a key guy in the rotation. He could bring in some experience, but it's pretty lacking for else who they have. And that is going to be a problem. And like what I said, who they're playing, they need to be fixed right away. And I don't know how well they can do that or how soon they can do that.
Yeah, the key to this UNLV defense this year is to not be as bad.
And that's don't suck.
That's a stupid thing to say. No, they can still suck. They just can't be as bad as they were last year. And if you look in front of it, and this is the new defensive coordinator who I think you were talking about, Kenton Bear is the guy you're thinking of, right? And he is the one who was in that interview. Kent Bear improved a Colorado defense from 117th to 101st, and then from 101st to 98th.
It's improvement, but also they're not continue on that. They play in probably the toughest division, the Pac-12 South. Arizona, yeah. USC, Utah. Utah finished fourth. I think they won 9 games. And so that's improvement. If he can, if he can do that at UNLV, just move him up 10 spots nationally, that's what they need. They need their defense has just historically not ever really been good outside of a couple players here and there. And it's
so basically, with that being said, then that means that playing in the West Division is going to be beneficial for UNLV.
Of course. That makes sense. Because last year, really quick, they gave up 6.5 yards per play, over 500 yards, exactly 513 per game. Cut out the 450, that could be huge. and that's just a moderate increase.
Right.
Should we get to the games?
Shall we?
Let's move on. Game time. Do, do, do. That's boom, my sound effect. Boom, boom. So they open up. Their schedule is not too kind. They open up at Northern Illinois at Husky Stadium, which a very difficult place to play. Listen to some of those. Listen to that new USA Today Football 4 podcast.
Yeah.
And everybody knows NIU, Jordan Lynch. They've had great coaches the past decade or so. This is just their conference schedule or record, but they've only lost, like, I think, 5 conference games in, like, 5 years. I think they've gone, like, 41-4 in the past 4 years or 5 years in conference play.
Here's the thing. If I remember correctly, though, NIU is not predicted to win the MAC this year.
Let's find out who they were. I don't recall. Has MAC Media Days happened yet? I thought they were still.
Yeah, it happened late last week.
Maybe I should check out the Hustle Belt, see what they got going on. But I'm over at prestacian.com, which is a great place to see all the composites. Northern Illinois is they're actually predicted to win the West.
No.
Well, no, what I'm going by is by the magazine predictions. Like, do you have the actual Media Day pulled up?
That was just one guy's vote. Hold on. Oh, let me get to Hustle Belt.
I'm there as
the
well.
The guy said Toledo was going to win the West.
Okay, because the way it's put on here on pre-Stacian or Stacian.com, Northern Illinois is slightly ahead by Toledo, where basically they're first or second in every magazine. Phil Steele, USA Today, Sporting News. There's 3 and a couple, but
yes, I was totally right.
You were right.
Yep. Toledo's supposed to win the West. Bowling Green is supposed to win the East. Here's something for you. Northern Illinois is supposed to be 3rd in the West. That's what the media picked.
They did?
Toledo 1, Western Michigan 2, Northern Illinois 3. I think if Northern Illinois is facing a down year this year, this is the year for UNLV, and it's not going to happen, but this is the year for UNLV to make at least a little bit of early noise and give Coach Sanchez a chance to kind of make a statement and show what he's all about.
Well, the first 3 weeks at Northern Illinois, which, like I said, probably not a win, but if it's a down NIU team, the season opener, I think it'll put
a scare.
Yeah, a little scare. I think it'll be competitive. It won't be like, wasn't it a blowout last year? Something pretty bad.
It ended up being a 14-point victory, and basically Northern Illinois jumped out 28 points, and UNLV just kept fighting back.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. That was last year. If Tony Sanchez can get his team out starting quickly, and put Northern Illinois in that hole, then that's where the scare comes in, and that's where people start to wake up and say, this is a different team. The next week at the next week at home versus UCLA, ooh, you're not going to see that at all.
No. And then at Michigan, the week after, that's a pretty tough first 3 weeks for
absolutely
Coach but Sanchez.
If you somehow beat Northern Illinois on the road, that sets the tone for the whole season. Even if you lose to Northern Illinois, but it's a close loss, that sets a tone. That sets something different. That wakes people up, at least the local media.
Because it's like what I said when they made before they made the bowl game. We said this about New Mexico and UNLV recent years doing this show. They're not. It's a bad compliment to say, but it's still a positive. You're not losing as bad. You're not losing 52-10. You're not losing 72-0. You're losing, like you said, the NIU game. You lose by 14 points. It got out of hand, but you didn't give up.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to go off topic again. Do you know one of our New Mexico guys, Ryan Tomari, right? He does a little bit for us.
Yes.
So I was looking – we're on Facebook, buds, looking through. He used to write for the New Mexico Daily Paper. During the glowing times of Mike Locksley era of New Mexico football. And he's like, oh, I forgot to put this on Facebook. It's the 50th year anniversary of me getting a confrontation between my head coach Mike Locksley at a bar. And, and what it was, No, I will. I'll probably share it or something. I'll send it to you real quick. It's just a little thing in the newspaper. He put in his little blurb on this date. The reporter for date, whatever, I think it's the Daily Lobo, predicted Oregon to beat New Mexico 72-3 in EA Sports NCAA Football 11. I wish the game was back. But, and then he got a confrontation or was confronted by Michael Oxley at a bar, and the bar owner deleted the surveillance video. Next line, which is kind of like the next update for New Mexico football, New Mexico loses to Oregon 72-0. I just saw that. I'm like, oh, hey, that game's pretty accurate. It's like, hey, at least you got a field goal over the coach.
Right.
I happen to think of that for whatever reason, but that was hilarious. Me thinking not losing as bad. But here's the thing. Even Idaho State, who they play week four, that's not a gimme win. Their offensive coordinator, Don Bailey's now at Hawaii, but their offense was like, I believe it was the best in FCS last year.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Yes.
No way.
Look it up, because the new Hawaii OC is from Idaho State.
No, I know that, but where do I find college? Where is CFB stats?
I don't think they'll have FCS stats there. They were one of the best offenses in the country last year. I know you hate everything outside of Boise State, but
come on. No, it's not that. It's not that. I am just in complete and utter shock.
Okay, I'm on NCAA.com. Let's go to total.
You said offensive or just passing yard?
I think total offense. Sorry, I thought I was muted here. I got some random message my computer beeped. Total offense.
Holy hell. You're not kidding.
Told you.
Justin Arias, Idaho State, 4,076 passing yards. That's just passing yards. That's not even total yards.
They were second in the country in yards per game at 562.
The passing offense was 348 passing yards per game.
Telling you.
Oh, my God. What was their rushing then? I got to What the hell? I'm so overblown. Like, you have no idea, because Idaho State has never really been a good team since, like, the 70s.
I realize that.
562 yards a game?
Yes, I told you that. Yes.
Jeez.
They were more of a passing team, because I'm on the stats right now. This is lovely podcasting. They're actually 23rd in rushing at 213 per game.
And only Yale was better slightly, and Eastern Washington was much worse. Oh, my. How?
Hey, the big sky is the SEC of FCS football. Come on.
Actually, yes. But that being said,
Idaho State. I love this. Bengals!
Can't comprehend. Okay, so I'm going to be nice and still say they beat Idaho State.
Oh, me too, but it might be check that out on the Mountain West Network. That could be an interesting game. So they're probably 1-3 at that point.
You know why? Idaho State plays Boise State the week before.
Oh, interesting. So you can scout them. Thank you for volunteering that up front. Mm-hmm. Then they play at, we'll kind of, I know we've been going for a while, we'll kind of skip through these, but they go to Nevada, which I think is a ridiculous game, because how can the Fremont Cannon be in week six?
The only acceptable day when the Fremont Cannon can be played in October is the day where they're playing Boise State, October 31st. Nevada Day should be the day reserved for a Fremont Cannon battle.
Is that Nevada Day? October?
Yes, October 31st is Nevada Day.
So, same as Halloween? Does it get overshadowed at all?
Hey, it's a state holiday, therefore there's no school.
Perfect. That's a great idea, then. Think about it. Get Halloween off. But yeah, and then what's also worse, it's not even on TV. It's on streaming only, Mountain West Network.
Stupid.
Again, that game, it's a rivalry game. Anything? Who won it last year? I honestly don't recall. Is it Nevada, right? I'm assuming.
I'm assuming it's
Nevada.
It's at Nevada.
Okay. No. Who won it? The trophy went to the Wolfpack, right?
Yeah, the trophy is at Nevada. I went to that game last year. It was painful.
You're not going to say Reno?
No.
I know how much you hate that place. 2011, field goal, Colin Kaepernick. Let's move on. All right, next. San Jose State. All these games.
Win.
Okay, win. Sure, it's at home. We're not going to go game by game, but that's if they find a running back, right?
Yeah.
At Fresno is probably a loss. If we're looking at the midway point really quick, they're probably getting maybe 2 wins max. They're probably getting 2. If we stop at the midway point, they're probably getting just a pair of wins maximum. Idaho State and maybe somebody else.
San Jose State.
Maybe. I think if Des Martin's offense picks up like we think it could be, that might be a difficult game for the Rebels. And then the last half of the schedule is pretty brutal.
But that's the thing. Between Nevada and San Jose State, both those teams, while they are going to be heavy underdogs, they can both conceivably win.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you're in the West and pretty much anything can happen.
And you're at home, so that's hopefully there's a crowd there despite probably sitting at 1-4 in that game. Because they're not beating Fresno State, I don't think.
Nope.
And then, man, that second half for Nevada or UNLV is very difficult. Boise State, you get the rival game against Hawaii, which I think it's a rival game because they've been playing forever, and that's a tough one. Homecoming, so that's nice. At CSU, very difficult. Home to San Diego State and at Wyoming. They might go 0-5 down that stretch.
It's fairly likely.
This might be a 2-win team.
I'm going to be nice and say 3.
3?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the third win then? Wyoming?
Idaho State, Nevada, San Jose State.
Of course you're going to say Nevada. Okay. It's... Like you said, this is the worst time for them to rebuild their defensive line. When they have everything back, out secondary, half the starters back, that's good enough. They have the experienced coaching staff. I want to be more positive about UNLV. But unless they can beat Northern Illinois, there's not going to be much optimism. Because if they beat NIU, that's obviously great. They lose to UCLA, lose likely to Michigan. I think Michigan, they could keep it reasonably close because – at least for a little bit. I could be off my rocker, but Michigan's nothing special. I think they're bringing in their quarterback's going to be a guy who played at Iowa last year, I believe. He's going to be starting. And they were a mess last year, despite we know the talent being better. That could be interesting, but I think if you want to keep the momentum, like you said, they got to beat NIU. If I'm going real high end here, Northern Illinois could be a win. Idaho State, Nevada, if they can get 4 wins, if they're sitting at, 4-4 at midway point, is that right? 5,
four,
yeah.
Four.
Or 4-3, that, you think it's possible? NIU, Idaho State, Nevada 3, San Jose State 4, it's 4-3. That would be probably the best case possible.
Here's the absolute dream season, and you're going to laugh at me.
12-0.
No, 6-7.
They don't play 13 games.
6-6.
Okay, walk me through 6-6 then.
You're sitting at 4-3, right? NIU, mm-hmm. Idaho State, Nevada, San Jose State, right?
Mm-hmm.
You beat Hawaii, and you beat Wyoming.
Okay, depending on Wyoming, last game of the year, we'll see. Brian Hill and Sean Wick's a pretty deadly combination.
True. But remember that UNLV had the random win against Fresno State last year.
They did. I think it comes down to all the way back at the beginning of the show, the offense with Decker making better decisions and better decisions, improve that percentage and decrease the interceptions.
Yep.
And I, like I said, NIU is down. Michigan's down. There's chances to, we're going to be probably more positive, probably could be, but I'm probably saying 3 wins is probably where they're going to be at. And then once Tony Sanchez gets his guys in there, they'll start improving. But I don't see, like, their schedule outside of Boise State and UCLA, they're probably not going to have too many blowout games because Michigan, I think that could be somewhat close a little bit. Nevada, they returned Don Jackson, but they still need a new quarterback. San Jose State, their rush defense is terrible, and anybody can do good against them. Fresno's getting better, but they're not exceptional yet. Hawaii might put points. CSU's obviously very good, but I don't see many teams like just stomping UNLV this year. And that could, like I said, they're not losing as bad. That could be the confidence where we're competitive, and then we'll know next year when we bring in more guys, better system. Sanchez understands what it is to be a head coach after a full year.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and say they're going to probably be a 3-9 team this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they easily have the potential to go 6-6.
Yeah, because they miss Utah State, which is pretty good. They miss – who else they miss? New Mexico, which – whatever you want to say about New Mexico, they're in Air Force. Those two running attacks are just crazy. So – oh, speaking of Air Force, we're done with UNLV here. They're sitting at 3 wins probably. Hopefully, I want every team to be good because that helps everybody out. With so many bowl
– it's our conference.
Yeah, and with so many bowl opportunities and likely whoever the champion of this league is likely going to a big-time bowl game, we want to give everybody a chance. But did you read over what Troy Calhoun, very open on his comments about during media day in an interview with the Colorado Springs Gazette?
Yeah, not too happy with the Mountain West right now.
His comments were great because he didn't come out and say it, but he pretty much came out and said it. He doesn't like the recruiting because of the late night games, which is great for hockey because there's a lot of East Coast teams they're in. He basically said they're forced to play at these late times. They're forced to do this because he compares it to what a cadet going to Afghanistan? He's like, you're there or not, but you're going regardless. You know what I mean? You like it or not, but you're going to do your job. Doesn't like the TV payouts. Okay. And these are all vague, but you can clearly tell what he's saying. But then he kind of drops this. Why, like, does it matter? We're in the Mountain West. Does that really help us or not? And that was quite interesting. And people in the comments like, well, maybe they'll drop down. Like, they're not dropping down because they're – outside of, 2 years ago, they're winning 8 games every year. They're not a team that's going to go 4-10 wins to 6 wins to 3 wins to 9 wins. They're a consistent 7-8 win team every single year.
Really, if you think about it, if there's any team in the nation that makes sense to go independent, it's the service academies.
Mm-hmm.
Because their players are in a completely different schedule, not by choice.
Yeah, they got the 18 credit hours. They don't practice 20 hours a week. They don't have time for film. They're extremely busy. There's no red shirt. And you're in it. Here's the quote I like. If you're a captain in the Air Force and you're assigned to Afghanistan, you're either going to be a conscientious objector or you're going to go. Am I right? Those are the decisions that are made in other sports, and you follow what those decisions are. Yeah. And it's kind of along the lines of the Mountain West or not. Should we be there or not? There was
some matter. We're here.
Yeah, so we'll do our best. There was some talk about them being independent in football and going to Missouri Valley for non-revenue sports. Seems kind of far-fetched, but that was a possibility. But it's just interesting. He just brings it. Calhoun says what he's going to say. Like the recruiting, and his main thing too, it's a university-driven league, and they're a school, but they're not really a university. You know what I mean?
Right.
Their goal is to eventually protect the United States and whatever job you get in the academy, a pilot, computer guy, intelligence guy. That's what they are. They're not there to bring out lawyers or architects or engineers or athletes. They're there to eventually protect the U.S. from whatever they are assigned to do. So I just wanted to bring that up because I lost a little bit of media day. Do you have anything else we need to bring up I missed or my notes I sent over that you found intriguing?
Lenny
Jones, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Nevada D lineman wants to play tight end, possibly. Eh.
Austin Kefensis not necessarily eligible yet?
Yeah, that's the that's one too I was looking at. He's a QB, went to high school in Utah, like a 4 or 5 star guy. Followed Gary Anderson, who we know, coach Utah State, coach Utah, went to Wisconsin. He graduated early to participate in spring camp, was still, I think, fourth on the depth chart. Anderson goes to Oregon State. A lot of people think he's transferring back to Utah or Utah State. Ends up at Nevada. And Coach Poland at Media Days is still unaware of what he'll be. If he's eligible, he will be in the mix to be one of the starting quarterbacks. But or quarterback. It's probably going to be – isn't it Nick Stevens the guy? Or is it Devin White for Nevada? I think Nick Stevens is CSU. I think it's Devin – I forget the name. It's getting late here. But he could be in the mix for a starter. And then Rocky Long, I guess, last thing – it's probably Maxwell Smith, but they're not going to make a decision until a week after camp starts. And so that's all I got. Do we cover everything? Do we talk about Rashard Higgins of popcorn?
Hollywood Higgins.
There you go. Excellent. I guess that's it for tonight, and we will attempt to – should I give Blog Talk Radio one more week to see what goes on?
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of – I'm peeved because they upgraded their quality, and – it sounded good for when we talked about 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes. Check out our show, or our website, mwcconnection.com. Did you know New Mexico football starts Monday? That's tomorrow because we're recording Sunday night. So we got fall camp coming up. We still have our Utah State and Wyoming previews. So we'll have a couple of those guys on, probably Ben and Parker to chat about that, hopefully, but check out Greek Padre. Let's see if we can now get you to 500 followers. Or is it? Or should we ask Parker secret code for spam bots to follow you?
No, I don't want spam bots.
Well, okay. That's at least not to respond to you. Maybe to follow you.
Yeah. So when are we going to do our big giant preview show?
I was thinking about that.
We already did do our big giant preview show, our early preview show, but when are we going to do our...
We're going to have Robert Kalakua with us on the show, hopefully.
Kekaula. If you can't pronounce his last name right, how do you expect him to join us?
You introduce him? No, okay. Quick business here. So today's the 2nd of August.
We will do Utah State on the 9th.
We will do Wyoming on the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
And that means August 23rd is our big preview show. Should we do what we did last year? People probably want to know, but do you want to bring on all of our writers for a quick 2 minutes, if possible?
Didn't we do that?
Yeah, do you want to do that again?
We could. We could totally do that again.
I will send out the sign-up sheet.
Another thought that I possibly had.
What is that?
Is just give – have well, if we're still using Blog Talk Radio, have them randomly call up.
Yeah, that's what made it – that made it simple last year. That's what we did last year, I believe. Bring them up. So we'll see. Okay, it depends on two things. I don't want to do segments and call on it. We could still do Google Plus and call on, but that could be a hassle. So we'll have some sort of show. Either it'll be a big preview show. Either emails will be coming in from our writers to give us their predictions, or we'll bring them on and we'll try to get Robert on as well. I'll probably email him in about a week or so to see what he can do. But that's our show. Football, it's so close. So close. And I'm hoping to have some good ideas. We have a ton of new writers, which is awesome. We have an NFL draft guy. That's pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
So if you like the draft, check out our first article on Ian Sale from a couple days ago. There's a ton of content. So what I'd recommend, follow us on Twitter, MWC Connection, Facebook, Mountain West Connection. Check us out there. We'll post things throughout the day, obviously. Our website, we're posting all day. So just... if you want a certain team, follow them. They're all tagged that way. If you want to follow Nevada, UNLV, Boise, since we're biased every team, pick the team you like that you'll get the most coverage from. But check it out. And then our show, iTunes, of course, leave us a review. Stitcher, leave us a review. SoundCloud, we love SoundCloud. Blog Talk Radio, I'm about to kick you in the throat, possibly. Is that nice enough to say?
Yeah, sure.
We'll go with that. But again, thanks for joining us. MWCconnection.com, and we'll be back next week with our Utah State preview. Good night, everybody.